Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the word of God. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where lives are being enriched and transformed and nourished by the word of God. Let's say a word of prayer quickly. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the entrance of the same. Thank you for the power in your word to liberate. Hallelujah. Thank you for the power in your word to liberate from every stronghold, from every deception, from every confusion. Thank you, Father, because light shines on our hearts even as we behold your word this morning. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Okay, so we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. What exactly does spiritual growth look like? What is spiritual growth itself? We are still studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. You know, we've not started talking about what it looks like. We just have emphasized the most important thing in our pursuit of spiritual growth, which is knowledge. And then the use of our minds, intellectual faculties, how that our minds are the places for receiving revelation. Praise God. And then yesterday, I showed us how lack of spiritual maturity plays out in many ways. A typical example is the example of the Corinthian church, who, though had sound teachers of the word of God, were still playing the preference card in that matter. Some of them preferred Paul, some preferred Apollos, and some preferred Cephas. Glory to God. Now you see, let me read chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, because yesterday I remember I quoted chapter 3 that did not make mention of Cephas. Some of you might be confused. So let's just read today. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, I'll start from verse 10. Bible says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of close household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ." Imagine the kind of carnality. I don't belong to Paul, I belong to Christ. I don't belong to Christ, I belong to Cephas. I don't belong. They had the carnality. I wanted to say God. It's not God. It's quite carnal to include Christ in the equation. I mean, I'm of Christ, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and all that. So, you know, Paul is saying, is Christ divided for you? That was what their lack of spiritual understanding, you know, resulted in. Glory to God. So you see, spiritual immaturity plays out in several ways, in different ways today. But the only solution is that men should pursue the knowledge of the word of God. It's by the word of God we're able to grow into the very shape that God wants us to be in as Christians. So today I want to emphasize on what exactly is spiritual growth. Hallelujah. We've seen the most important thing. We've also seen that spiritual growth is not a growth of the spirit. It's a development of the mind. The spirit does not grow. The spirit can never grow. The spirit is a complete man. It's complete. The spirit does not grow from one level to another. Otherwise, those who die the day they meet the Lord Jesus or the day they receive the gospel will get into the kingdom of God as dwarfs. But there are no dwarfs in the kingdom of God. It is not an increase in the growth of the spirit. Spiritual growth is a development of our mind. But what are the traits? What exactly is spiritual growth? How does it play out? This understanding, this knowledge that I'm pursuing, how would I know that it has profited me, it has matured me in the faith? Look at 2 Timothy, glory to God. 2 Timothy in chapter 3, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the scriptures are given to perfect us, to mature us. So, but how do I know that the scriptures, the knowledge of God's word, the doctrine has profited me? How do I know that I've gained, I've benefited from the doctrine of Christ? How do I know that the doctrine has yielded in my life spiritual growth, you know, as a Christian? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4. I know I mentioned this in passing, but then we're going to dwell on it for a few days. Much more. How do I know if I have grown spiritually? Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17. Okay, let me even start from verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the word that means to build up, for the building up of the body of Christ. Amazing. Some folks actually believe that they are the body of Christ, that is, as individuals. Someone says, I don't need to go to church, I'm the church. There's no such thing. The body of Christ, the church, is a gathering, is an assembly. The word ecclesia in the Greek speaks of an assembly of called out ones. Not one person is the church. It's an assembly of those who have been called out. You are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells within you. But you are not the church. You are a member of the church. You are a member of the body of Christ. We are members of one another. I just said to say this in passing, in case somebody is listening to this and shares in such mindset or sentiment. You are not the body of Christ. You belong to the body of Christ. You are a member of the body of Christ. So look at verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, that is, we are to be taught, equipped for the ministry, edified and built up, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be babes or children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So, you see, edifying. You see, edifying. Building up. Speaking the truth in love. Grow up into him in all things. Now, it now gets to verse 17. This I say, therefore, that is, in view of everything I've been saying, this I'm saying that, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. So that means that the knowledge of Christ seeks to affect your walk. Praise God. The knowledge of Christ, when a man is built up in the faith, when a man grows and matures in the faith, the first thing we're going to see is a change in how he walks. Hallelujah. A change in how he walks, in how he conducts himself. This I say, therefore, and testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk on uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Hallelujah. You have not so learned Christ. The man that has learned the doctrine of Christ very well, the man that exposes himself to wholesome doctrine, to sound doctrine, to healthy doctrine, is the man whose conduct will begin to show it. His conduct will align with the life he has received in Christ Jesus. So listen, salvation brings you into Christ. Salvation makes you a new creature. Spiritual growth makes you walk like a new creature. Salvation makes you become like Christ. You are conformed to the image of Jesus. You know, we are not trying to conform to Christ. You find Christians saying, you know, let's just try and be like Christ. Let's just try. You must explain what you are saying. Because we are not trying to become like Jesus. At salvation, we became like Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8. Put your hand at Ephesians chapter 4. If you are using a hard copy Bible. Hallelujah. Or if you are just listen with rapt attention. Romans chapter 8. So, salvation makes us become like Jesus. Once and for all, we are born in his image. We are born in his likeness. We are born as joint heirs of Christ. We are born bearing his spirit, his life, his nature, his identity. We are who Jesus is. Hallelujah. We are exactly the way Jesus is. We have been transformed into his image once and for all time. Glory to God. You know, as he is, so are we in this world. Romans chapter 8. Look at this now. When I say we are who Jesus is, of course, you know, I'm talking about identity. We have taken on the same identity that is found in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So you see, we are not trying to conform to Christ. That is not the journey we are on. That is not the race set before us. Don't say, I'm just doing my best every day. I'm just trying my best to conform to Christ. No, we have been conformed to his image once for all at salvation. So we are like Jesus. Hallelujah. We have his identity. We share his life. Jesus is righteousness, and we also are righteous in him. Hallelujah. Jesus is the righteousness of God, and we have become the righteousness of God in him. So we have come to share the same nature and identity. That is salvation. Spiritual growth is you and I conducting ourselves as the righteousness of God in this world, bearing the fruits of righteousness. That's spiritual growth. Glory to God. So you see, there's a difference. There's a position and there's an experience to have. The position comes by salvation. It comes at salvation. It comes by our faith in Christ Jesus. You do nothing to get it. You just believe and you are saved and you are put in a position of righteousness. But there's an experience of bearing fruits of righteousness, which the believer will not come into if he does not mature in the faith. Hallelujah. He will not come into it if he does not mature in the faith. Look at this now. Philippians chapter 1. I showed you this yesterday. And then it's not bad to see it again. Sorry, did I say Philippians? Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Look at this now. I'll read from verse 9. Bible says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you that you ask, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And what does this do? When a man is filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, what is the outcome to expect? What is the outcome we are to expect? Look at verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Have you seen? So I said to you that spiritual maturity, our growth in Christ Jesus, affects our walk. That is the first thing it impacts. Praise God. So when you see a Christian who is not walking as he ought to walk, that is a Christian who is yet to grow, no matter how much he claims to know. Until the knowledge has an effect on your walk, you are not mature. Praise God. It must change your life. It must change your lifestyle. It must change your lifestyle. It must alter the course of your life. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, you are fruitful in every good work, even as you increase in the knowledge of God. Now, look at Philippians. I think this was the one we saw yesterday. Philippians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 9. Bible says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Verse 10. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Have you seen? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. So, at salvation, we became the righteousness of God. In spiritual growth, we are filled with the fruits of righteousness, abounding in every good work, abounding in love, even as we abound in knowledge and discernment. Have you seen? There's a difference. So, your lifestyle must be affected. Your walk, the way you conduct yourself must be affected. That is spiritual growth. Until your character is changed, until your character aligns with your nature, you are yet to mature in the faith. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians in chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 20. Hallelujah. Verse 20, Bible says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. Hallelujah. Conduct. Conduct, character. It's about your conduct that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Don't read this portion of scripture carelessly. Don't say we are to put off the old man. No. Put off the old man according to the former conduct. He's not talking about the old man. The old man already died in Christ. The old man has been put away. The old man has been crucified. The old man, the body of sin, has been put away. In Christ Jesus, at salvation, you lost the old man. You lost touch and contact with the old man at salvation. So what are you to put off? The conduct of the old man. The conduct of the, that's why it calls it the former conduct. Praise God. This is what you are to put away. This is the only thing that you know, pertains or that relates to the old man that remains. This is the only thing that has remained out of all that passed away, the conduct. Because conducts are products of mindsets. Conducts are products of your thought pattern. And then Jesus did not wash your mind. Praise God. Jesus did not wash your mind. He didn't brainwash you. So you remember certain things. You remember certain conduct, certain traits. You know how to still respond to people who annoy you and provoke you the way you used to respond before you were born again. You know how to deal with people, how to plot revenge and all that. You still know those things. So you must decisively deal with them with the word of God. So that's why it says to put off the old man, to put off the form, concerning your former conduct, the old man. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It's still talking about conduct. You are not to put on the new man as per getting saved. You already are saved. You are new in Christ. You have newness of life, but you must wear it. Hallelujah. You must put it on. You must begin to show forth that life. There must be an outshining of this life on the outside. That's why it begins to discuss conduct, character. Look at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that which is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Hallelujah. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. I like saying that. By whom you were sealed, that's Ephesians 1:13-14. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, as God in Christ forgave you. So it means a man that matures in the faith is a man that would have put away anger, bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, malice. When you find, do you know there are some leaders of church that are very, very experienced in malice, keeping malice. A leader. So sometimes the fact that a man is appointed a leader of a church or a leader of an assembly does not mean he's mature. We must look out for his lifestyle, his conduct, how he conducts himself. Some folks are masters at keeping malice, at working in envy and bitterness. I mean, very toxic. Such a man is not growing in the faith. We are not doubting his salvation. It's possible he's saved. If he has received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, if he has believed in the gospel, then of course he's saved. But he's not growing in the knowledge of Christ. Because growth would impact your walk. Growth will impact your walk. It will impact your conduct. How you conduct yourself in the midst of people. Praise God. How you conduct yourself in the midst of people. Such is the man that has put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. Glory to God. Malice. He says, and be kind to one another. You find out that a man that is growing in the faith, one of the major traits is that you find kindness. Hallelujah. The person is kind almost to a fault. That's spiritual maturity. Kind. Tender-hearted. Do you know what it means to be tender-hearted? It means to be compassionate. To be sympathetic. Praise God. To be sympathetic. You are so full of compassion towards men. Glory to Jesus. So full of compassion. Then he says to what? He says, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You see, a Christian who is so quick to forgive, that dismisses people's offenses so cheaply and so easily. Hallelujah. Somebody you cannot easily wrong. Even when you wrong the person, he just lets it go. You don't have to plead and be hoping that you'll be forgiven. Hallelujah. And you know, forgiveness is so scarce in this world. Sometimes, when I'm forgiving somebody of an offense, the person still comes back and says, I hope you are not still angry. Hallelujah. You know, recently, my printer was meant to deliver some jobs to me because I wanted to use them for some presentation. So it delayed, it disappointed. In fact, it was not that it delayed, it disappointed. I couldn't get to use them on that particular day. So as I was on my way to that place, I just let go. Do you know? Because of course, I was very pained. I was sad. I was sad. I was pained because I worked. I labored on that stuff. So I was very sad. I was not angry. I was not happy rather. I was angry. And then on my way, I just let it go. So I sent him a text and I said, see, no problem. You're disappointed, but no problem. I've forgiven you. I've let it go. Don't worry. When I come back, we're going to talk. He almost could not believe it. Hallelujah. He could not believe it. He called me and said, please, I hope you are still not angry. I said, I'm not angry. I'm serious. And then later, I got to the house. He texted me. He said, I hope you are still not angry. I said, I'm not angry. Then, a week or so after, I called him. I wanted to give him some jobs. And then the first thing he said on phone is, I hope you are not angry with me, sir. I said, ah, my God, forgiveness is so scarce in this world. Praise God. It's so scarce. Now, it doesn't say to forgive the way we choose to forgive. It says forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The same pattern, the same approach of not finding fault. The same approach of not imputing sin. The same approach of letting go and without recounting it. Hallelujah. Without counting it to the person's account. Without crediting it to the person's account. I should forgive in a way that if this person offends me again, I don't bring back what he has done. I say, that's how you did the other time. That's how many of us forgive. Amen. That's not the way God forgives. You don't go and dig out the past and say, you see, that's what you did in the past. That's why on this particular day, even between couples, spouses, these days, married couples, you find people digging out their past. You see, there are things you should let go and really let them go. Bury them in the sea of forgetfulness. That is how God forgives in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. So you see, it must be developing Christ-like qualities, virtues, Christian values, things you cannot find in the world. Forgiveness as it is not practiced in the midst of men. That is what we are talking about. That is what we are on the lookout for in Christ Jesus. So, spiritual growth is what will bring you to that place where you are able to forgive as you have been forgiven. You are able to reciprocate that which you have received. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I share that example spontaneously. Not because I'm trying to say I'm mature as a Christian. It is people that are, you know, judges of that. I won't be the one to judge my maturity. I will leave that to men. Hallelujah. Hebrews and chapter 8. What is my own concern? To strive, to move forward, to press on. Not to be marking the script and saying I'm mature. No, to strive on, to press on to maturity, to keep maturing and growing in the knowledge of Christ. Hebrews chapter 8, look at how God forgives in Christ. Verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Hallelujah. I will remember no more. You see, many times we enjoy these realities. Oh God, I've been forgiven. I'm a Christian. I'm born of God. Forgiven. God does not remember my sin anymore. My sins have been forgiven. Oh, it's a past tense reality. It's gone and all that. But then we don't extend same generosity to others because we are not growing. When you mature and you grow in the faith, you will be extending the same quality of affection, the same quality of love, the same quality of forgiveness that you have received, you extend it to others. Praise God. Do you know that we are required to be able to die, lay down our lives for the brethren? Do you know? Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So that is, the same way Jesus laid down his life for us, we also should be able to lay down our lives for the brethren. We should be able to live for one another. And if need be, we should be able to die for one another. Hallelujah. That's the kind of love that God has for us. So there's no way spiritual growth is not going to affect your lifestyle. It must affect your life. It must impact your lifestyle. It must produce the lifestyle of Christ. The very lifestyle of the life you carry on the inside must be seen on the outside. Hallelujah. That is the sign of spiritual maturity. You have not grown in the faith till it has changed your conduct. Glory to God. And never be caught saying, you know, it's not about this attitude. Nobody can tell me whether I'm growing or not. See, what you are describing is salvation. Nobody can say whether you are saved or not. He who believes in Christ has the witness in himself. Hallelujah. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8 also, that we are children of God. So sometimes, or let me say, many times, we can't even say for sure that somebody is saved. I said many times because there are times when, of course, because we have lived together, we've shared the same life together, we've related together, we can know. Just like Paul would say concerning his fellow workers, says, whose names are in the book of life. We can vouch for some people and say, this guy is saved. Hallelujah. Based on the same confession that we have held on to for many years, based on the same things we have said and believed for many years, I can say this guy is born again. However, the assurance of salvation ultimately lies between God and the recipient of salvation, the man that is saved in himself. Hallelujah. The man that is saved himself. You know that it's in the context of being born again that Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That is, it is not something we can physically discern. But you can apply this to spiritual growth. I can, by your conduct, look at you and say, oh, you are growing or you are not growing. I can, by your conduct, determine whether you have grown, matured in the faith, whether you have grown spiritually or not. By your conduct. For salvation, by your conduct, I may not be able to conclude whether you are saved or unsaved. Hallelujah. Because the ultimate witness to the fact that the man is saved is what the word says. But spiritual growth is discernible. I can touch it. I can look at you and say you are growing. I can look at you and say you are not growing. Glory to God. And it is by your conduct, by your attitude. It is discernible. We know men who are mature in the faith. We know those who are not matured in the faith. Glory to God. So look at this now. Look at this. That is why in the early church, they could point out to men that were mature. In choosing men as leaders, they could point out there were certain qualities to look out for. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 6. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 6. I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourself 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That is, they said, look among yourselves and find us 7 men who are full of good reputation. A matured believer is full of good reputation. Hallelujah. A mature Christian is full of good reputation. Men know that you're a good person. They know you're a good person. They know you are full of good qualities. Glory be to God. It is discernible. We can touch it. Hallelujah. Full of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit rather, and of wisdom. We see the way they go about things. We see the way they handle relationships. We see the way they handle matters. Men full of wisdom. Hallelujah. We see the way they deal with people, deal with different matters and respond to situations and issues. We see them full of the wisdom of God. Those are traits of spiritual maturity. So it is something we can see and touch. Don't say, they are just judging me myopically. They don't know that the seed on my inside is of God. They don't know I'm also equally born again. Nobody is disputing the fact that you are born again or dragging your salvation with you. But I can, by your conduct, say that you are a babe in Christ or you are a mature Christian. Hallelujah. I can, by your conduct, say you're a babe in Christ or you're a mature Christian. Look at this place now. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll be closing here today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start from verse 12. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Have you seen? Exemplary leadership. The man must be an example, a Christian, a pastor rather, must be an example in word, in conduct. That's maturity. In conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That is, we should be able to see these qualities in your life. We should be able to see these things as models, as examples. The man is growing in the faith. Look at verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Verse 15, point of emphasis. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, and the progress will be between you and God. Hallelujah. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? No. If you are not with your Bible, you're a candidate for deception. Hallelujah. He says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, and your progress will be evident to all. Your progress, your maturity, your growth will be evident to all. So spiritual growth is something that is discernible. It is something that is evident to all. We can look at you and say you are maturing. We can look at you and say you are growing. We can look at you and say you are not growing. I may not be able to look at you and say you are not saved or say you are saved, but I can look at you and say you are not maturing in Christ. I can look at you and say you are not bearing fruit. I can look at you and judge your walk in Christ Jesus and get it right. Because it is something we can see. It is not the hidden man of the earth. Hallelujah. It is the outworking of this life of God. It is something that is seen, that is felt. In fact, men are the receiving end of your maturity. If you look at everything that Paul mentions at Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to look at them again carefully tomorrow. If you look at them carefully, you discover that men are the receiving end of those conducts. All that you ever do, men are the receiving end of those things. So they can judge it. Hallelujah. If you don't forgive me, I can tell that you are not growing in the faith. Because I'm the recipient of unforgiveness. I'm the recipient of your unforgiveness. Same way I'll be the recipient of your forgiveness the day I wrong you. Praise God. So I can judge your walk because it's men that are receivers or recipients of your walk and conduct in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue from here tomorrow. Do good to tune in. Don't forget to invite somebody. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of spiritual songs, full of the Holy Ghost, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.